6. Imperial Palace, City of Talisburg, Kingdom of Old Kars. It was very quiet in the Talisburg Palace Library. The sun had set, darkness was settling over the landscaped grounds, and the tall grandfather's clock in one corner ticked loudly, steadily, in the stillness. Crown Princess Alana slept in her bassinet at her mother's side, although it wasn't going to be long before she roused again, demanding her next meal. Merlin Athrawis was glad she would. All of them needed that reaffirmation of life and hope and growth. Needed it badly at this particular moment.
"I should have insisted on sending more ships,"
High Admiral Locke Island said quietly over his comm from his distant flagship.
"We didn't have them to send, Brian," Dominic Stainer replied, equally quietly. "Not then."
"Besides, it's not as if it would have made a lot of difference," Caleb said. "Not in this situation. And it's not as if Gwillem made any mistakes, for that matter. The problem is that Thirsk didn't make any either."
"That and the storm," Merlin agreed, subvocalizing over his own built-in comm from his post just outside the library door. "I think that at the very worst, he could have fought a running engagement clear back to Claw Island if he'd had all 11 ships concentrated when Thirsk happened to cross him, assuming he couldn't simply have outrun the Dolorans."
"Of course it was the storm," Caleb nodded. "But it wouldn't have mattered against someone like the Harchongese, or even against the Desnarians at this point, because they wouldn't have been at sea when it hit."
His nod turned into a headshake.
"We all knew Thirsk was their most dangerous admiral. The relationship he's managed to forge with Mike makes him even more dangerous, since it covers his back against his political enemies. But we always knew he wasn't going to make the mistakes the rest of their so-called naval commanders are going to make. At the moment, it's rather cold comfort to have the accuracy of our predictions confirmed,"
Locke Island said bitterly, and once again Merlin found himself in complete agreement. Gwillem Manthir's stand had successfully covered Dasher and Destruction's escape, even though the two of them had dropped back to protect Talisman. Kaitana Raisando had realized none of his consorts were going to be able to join him, and that his quartet of galleons were no match for 3 purpose-built Carizian war galleons. Once he'd accepted that, he'd turn back to join the general assault on Manthir's crippled line of battle. In fact, the only real flaws in Thirsk's handling of the engagement, if they could be called flaws, were the way his captains had permitted themselves to all be drawn in against Manthir's line and the lack of order as his ships crowded in to engage the Carizians. In their eagerness to get to grips, his captains flung themselves on the formation right in front of them and allowed the ships which had kept running to escape. And as they swarmed around Manthir's short line, they'd gotten in one another's way, turning what should have been the methodical demolition of a vastly outnumbered force into a wild melee. It wasn't really anyone's fault. Thirsk's order for a general chase had undoubtedly been the correct one. Rather than limit his entire fleet to the speed of its slowest unit, it had freed his faster units by ordering every ship to pursue independently. But it also meant his own flagship had been too far astern of those faster consorts for him to exercise tactical control once action was actually joined. His division commanders had made efforts in that direction, but most of them were still too new to their own command responsibilities and to the potential control their new signal systems permitted to impose true discipline. The good news from the Dolorin perspective was that discipline had broken down in a surfeit of aggressiveness, not hesitation. But the bad news was that Gwillem Manthir had given them an extraordinarily costly lesson about the difference between an ordered formation and a mob.
The Carisian line had maintained iron discipline, pounding its opponents with deadly accurate broadsides. The smashing power of those heavy Carisian guns had savaged the Dolaran galleons as they attempted to close, and more than one Dolaran warship, hammered by the Carisian artillery, had staggered aside, at least briefly. Half the time, it seemed, that had brought them into collision with one of their consorts, and several of them had drifted completely out of the action, locked together by fouled rigging until their chastened crews could get them untangled. Yet, in the end, not even Carisian discipline could overmatch such superior numbers, not when their foes were just as willing to fight as they were. Eventually, a degree of order had been sorted out of the chaos, with Sir Darrand Rosail taking a leading role in the sorting, and a Dolaran line of battle had coalesced. Two Dolaran lines of battle, in fact, and the Carisian galleons had found themselves engaged from both sides simultaneously and pounded slowly into ruin. That had been the end. Not immediately, of course. Carisian seamen were too stubborn to yield easily, and Gwilym Mac Tír had been determined to attract as many of Thirsk's ships onto his own as he could, to inflict as much damage, lame as many of them as possible.